Good evening. This is Paul Kelly. I'm your host on today's Speak Up Arkansas, a place where we talk about the policies and laws that are passed by our political leaders and legislators and the kind of impact that it may have on your life, the lives of working Arkansans. Today we have a group of people who actually have spent the sessions over. They all look kind of tired and ready to go home and want a little bit of a rest, but I had to get them in here for a while, for a little bit, to talk about their perspectives that they found as working on the session. And all of them are employed by my employer, and that's Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families. We have Jenny Blankenship, who's the Director of Education Policy. We have Marquita Little, the Director of Health Policy. And we have the multiple talented Ellie Wheeler, who just flew in from Korea to be on the show Monday. And she is the Policy Director for Budget and Economic Security and Taxes. So I think she's trained in economics, and so we've got to have her around to explain all the money that's changing hands and where we can find more to do the right things with. So all of them are going to be here and share their experiences and I think some very helpful information. The questions we're going to be talking about or addressing are what has been the impact of the legislative session on working Arkansans. And you are welcome to give us a call anytime. You can call at 501-433-0088. We usually wait until the half hour is over, but you might want to, you can call us if someone is talking about something you have an interest in and you want a little more detail, you can give us a call. Or if you have an experience and would like to share that in your efforts to get things done at the Capitol, because it's all over now. Well, not quite over. They got to meet one more time, I think, to clean up any mess they find out they made. But so I'd like to first ask each of you to talk a little bit about perhaps just what the tenor of the session was, or what how was this maybe different than others, but just talk a little bit about the session in general before you get on your particular issue areas. Anybody have any comments or what the session was like or dare to talk about it on the air?
Well, Paul, I think you were pretty accurate in saying it was we're all a little tired. It was a busy session, certainly overall. And I mean, we'll get into more of the details, but some of the issues move through pretty quickly. And so I think that we were surprised in many ways at some of the successes we had, some of which we'll talk about here in a moment. But I think overall, we really saw a lot of things that were concerning during session in terms of a lot of bills that were introduced that really undermined and potentially limited and cut benefits for a lot of the poor families and working families in Arkansas. And so that tended to be one of the pretty common themes, I think, across issue areas. A lot of that legislation, much of it didn't pass, but overall there was certainly a lot of legislation to get into Ellie's area a little bit that really kind of threatened the overall economic security, I think, of a lot of working and poor families. But we'll hopefully have an opportunity to balance some of that discussion out with the successes that we saw as well.
Uh-huh. Anybody else? Did they file any more bills than usual, or was it about the same amount of confusion they created in this one as well as all the other ones you've been through? Jenny, do you have any?
I looked into that this morning, and I haven't found the latest figures from the Bureau of Legislative Research. They usually publish statistics on how many bills were filed, what percentage passed and failed, on which issue area. I know that at least 2,200 bills were filed. That seems in about the same range as the past couple of years. But it'll be interesting to break that down and see how many really passed.
Uh-huh. Well, and also how many failed. I think that we spent a lot of time talking about ones that we were trying to keep from passing, and so maybe that's because that dominated our conversations in the office. But again, I do think it was much better than some of us were concerned or afraid of. But I know that the governor, for example, really saved the payday lending bill that got turned down twice by the Senate, and then it was Jason Raper's bill to end payday lending in Arkansas, and the Senate voted it down twice, and the governor stepped in and took care of that. And so the governor too took some very good steps, we think, that we can be glad about and celebrate. Well, let's, Jenny, would you like to start off with some, just talking a little bit about education? I know that was a big issue, and I'd like to hear your comments on it.
Sure. It seemed like education bills got off to a much slower start this session than did some of the other things, like justice reform and especially health care reform. So it felt like a lot of sit around and wait and then hurry up at the end when they all came through at once, it felt like. Two of the biggest things that we were able to defeat, thank goodness, were proposed constitutional amendments that would have essentially taken the General Assembly's responsibility away under state Supreme Court oversight to ensure that all children have access to an equitable and adequate education. So this would have been basically throwing our public education system to local control. That's one thing you heard on every issue throughout the session is local control, local control. And that makes sense when you're talking about some things, but when it comes to a major enterprise like public education, where we have a constitutional mandate to provide the best education we can for all students, regardless of their background, their disabilities, their special need, it's best not to just leave that up to parents to fight on the local level all on their own. It's something that has to be done at a state level. So fortunately, we testified against at least two of those bills. They died pretty quickly. There seemed to be more of a legislative appetite for getting tort reform on the ballot. I forget what the other two are, but the legislature can refer three ballot amendments to the citizens of Arkansas every year. So that was great that we didn't have to continue fighting energy and money against that for the rest of the year, because that would have been a real uphill battle to fight. On to some more positive developments in education. We were thrilled to get $3 million in permanent funding for quality pre-K. The state has what's called the Arkansas Better Chance Program for eligible 3 and 4 year old children who are under 200% of the federal poverty line. And that program has gone flat funded for over 8 years now, with the exception of a one-time $3 million increase that Governor Hutchinson proposed during the last fiscal session. So he did that over 2 years, so $1.5 million a year. Was certainly better than nothing, but the governor and everyone who knows the value of pre-K knows that we still have a long way to go. And even now that we've gotten that permanent $3 million a year, we're still working with a coalition of people who've are really deeply committed to getting our public early childhood programs back funded where they need to be, or at least have a cost of living increase every year.
So that makes the total around $114 million for ABC, is that correct? Or thereabouts. I know we thought we
114 to 116.
Okay.
So, you know, again, we really give kudos to the governor for making that one of his top priorities this session. I know $3 million doesn't sound like a lot in the grand scheme of things, but he has a lot of decisions to make, and the revenue forecasts are already coming out looking worse than they were even a month or two ago. So we're grateful to have that.
And that's an improvement over last time, because it was a one-time
absolutely
increase, and this is a permanent one, or as long as the money holds out.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
So we're grateful for that. And then also grateful that we were able to help get $4.3 million in additional national school lunch funding. This is basically state money for schools with high levels of poverty. And that will go towards either pre-K programs, after-school and summer programs, or tutoring programs. On a grant basis for districts that choose to apply to use that money. And we've really tried to push getting more money also for the Positive Youth Development Act, which was passed back in 2011. And the rules and regulations have already been written for that to set up quality after-school and summer programs. So we're hoping we'll continue to work with the Arkansas Department of Education to make sure that they remember that framework is already in place, and as they take that $4.3 million and divvy that out to schools, that they really encourage them to do quality after school and summer programs and use the Positive Youth Development Act as a way of implementing that new funding. A couple of other things just real quickly. We worked with several legislators on some positive school discipline reform. Our research in Arkansas and across the country has shown that school discipline is a major issue driving a lot of kids to drop out of school early. It tends to be implemented far more harshly and more long-term towards African-American students than their non-minority peers. And the same thing goes for special education students. So one of the first things we wanted to do was make sure that the Arkansas Department of Education is collecting all the data that we need disaggregated by those different groups so that we can really drill down and see where the problems are, if there are more problems in certain regions of the state or certain school districts, so that we can work with them and several other partners to help them realize that there are research-based alternatives that they can use instead of the traditional expulsion, out-of-school suspension, in-school suspension. So we were able to do that and get that into statute. We were also able to ban out-of-school suspension and expulsions for kids in grades kindergarten through third. Our Arkansas Better Chance pre-K program has already done that for preschool students. And I think we're one of the leading states in the country on this now that we've passed this ban for kids in K through three. And of course, there is an exception for a student who, you know, brings a gun to school or violently acts out, and every other alternative has been used to no avail. So,
but not much of that's happening.
But not much of that is happening, at least in the K through three level.
Right.
And you know, the problem that we're really more concerned with is things like kids getting sent to out of school suspension because they don't wear their belt for their uniform that day, and then their parent has to take off work and come pick them up and take them home and miss a day of work. Things like that affect everyone, and keep kids out of the classroom.
And I know there was an effort to try to do away with corporal punishment, and that didn't do quite so well.
Yes,
they weren't quite ready for that.
The debate lasted about 1 second, and we're going to have to do a lot more work on educating people why, you know, a lot of us growing up, we're subject to corporal punishment at school and at home, and some people still swear by it, but you can't deny the research on it now. It's not only ineffective, it's counterproductive, and it's not only counterproductive for the kid that gets it, it's counterproductive for the whole school culture. So we just really have to go into education mode and teach people that there are better ways of approaching this. Things like restorative justice, conscious discipline. I've even heard of schools having amazing success with things like yoga and meditation instead of after-school detention. It really works. It sounds hokey, I know, when it's a lot easier to take a paddle and spank a child on the behind like our parents used to do, right?
Right.
So that effort will continue. We passed some other bills that will help get students on grade level reading by the end of third grade. And I don't want to talk too much longer because I know my colleagues have a lot of material to cover too. I just wanted to mention the power of grassroots voices and helping stop bad bills and pass good bills. And one of the bills that advocates were able to stop was a school voucher bill that would have started off at up to $10 million a year, taking public funds and putting those in unaccountable private schools that are not accountable for accepting all students who come. So they amended it 6 times. It still failed. They turned it into a Senate bill. It still failed. And the only reason that it failed is because enough grassroots people and parents and teachers got on the phone and called their legislators. But privatization is going to continue to be a big issue that everyone has to stay watchful of.
All right. Well, thank you, Jenny. And if there's other questions about it, folks can call and ask. Jenny probably will be able to answer them, at least in part. And again, you're listening to Speak Up Arkansas on KABF. You're welcome to call in at 501-433-0088. And Marquita, do you want to share a little bit about health care? Because I know that was certainly something that was big this once again. It seems to be big every year, but this was pretty unusual given what's going on the national level. But.
It is. It certainly continued to be a big issue. And quite frankly, on health care, I think it feels like we've been in one continuous session because every in between the legislative sessions, we've had special sessions on health care. But I think the last time I was here, talked about one of the big issues during session, which kind of passed pretty quickly, and it was expanding access to home and community-based services for kids and adults with disabilities. And so that happened pretty quickly, and it happened because of, quite frankly, another issue I'll talk about, our Medicaid expansion program. We used to have a small program that provided limited benefits for a certain group of adults in our state, and when we expanded coverage, they were all able to move over to our new Medicaid expansion program with additional federal dollars. And so we had some money sitting there that had not been used for any other purpose that was able to be dedicated now to those kids and families, those kids and adults, who many of whom had been on a waiting list waiting for access to services that would allow them to be treated and supported in their home or in a community-based setting versus in a facility. And so that, again, passed really quickly. Another issue that passed pretty quickly with little to no debate, and I will say it's one that we were probably, well, not probably, we were not very happy about, but it was TANF drug testing. And so for recipients who qualify for TANF benefits in 2015, legislation passed to create a pilot. And so during this session, information was presented on the success or lack thereof of that particular program, which very much the findings were very much what we anticipated, that despite the state investment of dollars and resources and time, we found very few recipients in the state who were actually tested positive.
And say again, TANF is Temporary Assistance for Needy families. That's the sort of used to be called welfare. Right. Okay.
And so that program now will go from being a pilot to now a permanent part of that application process and system in Arkansas. And the reason this is a health issue is because these are people who are potentially testing positive or have a substance abuse or substance use disorder. And the health concern, of course, is that this is not an effective way to ensure that those folks are getting the treatment that they need should they need it. And quite honestly, in many ways, it was disguised as a way to identify people who need help. But we know the real reason was certainly to reduce the roles in people who are receiving those benefits. And again, another concern is that these are benefits that are no longer going to children in those families who need them.
Well, to talk about the project, though, it was a whatever you call it, they looked at it, but did they not find that very few people tested positive and it cost a whole lot of money to do it, or what? How did they?
So the actual cost ended up being a whole lot less than the 2015 estimates, I think, which were like over $1 million. The cost was a lot less than that. But and so during testimony, there were certainly some conflicting testimony on how many. But if I recall correctly, I think it was only two people in the state of Arkansas who actually tested positive for the program. But the sponsor of the bill really touted as a success the fact that we had deferred a couple hundred people from actually applying. And it depends on how you measure success, if that's actually a success, because we don't know, again, how many kids, since this is needy families, and so these are families with kids, we don't know how many kids are now suffering from that lack of resources in their home because of this program that we put into place.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt. I know you were heading to another subject.
No, so I'll save the controversial stuff. Go ahead.
Well, no, that was it. That was it. I was just commenting on that. I know they do that. They may have even done that for workman's comp and this little drug testing thing. They do it for everybody but open carry or concealed carry people, I guess.
That sounds about right.
All right. Ellie, a little tell us what's going on in economic self-security or not, and what is improving or something we need to keep an eye on.
Well, sure. I'm happy to say that we did have some great successes during this legislative session. One of the ones I'm most excited about is our increasing access to paid maternity leave in our state. We've been advocating for this for quite a while now, and now we do have some legislation that allows state employees to draw up to 4 weeks of paid leave for moms after the birth of a child. And of course, we'd love to see that opportunity expanded to as many new parents as possible in Arkansas because of the health benefits, the financial benefits. There's just so much research that shows that being able to take time off after a new baby comes into the house makes families more financially stable for the long term, and gives them really great positive health benefits for the long term. Kids are more likely to be taken to their doctor's appointments, their checkups, more likely to get their vaccinations that they need if their parents are given that opportunity to have paid leave. So we were really excited about that.
Not to mention them being able to form meaningful, close relationships with their children in the first aspects of life. I know many other countries give them months off to, even paid leave for a year. This is a minimal kind of effort to we talk about family values, this is certainly one that could use a little help from our friends.
That's right. And you know, the U.S. is unique in our sort of lack of giving people that access to paid leave. So this legislation does put Arkansas kind of at the forefront in our region for taking care of new parents. So
that's,
so that's really exciting. I think you mentioned this a little bit earlier, where there is a multiple bills filed that related to payday lenders or predatory lending practices. Just a little bit of background for people who don't know, Arkansas is unique, has a unique constitution in that
we cap our interest rates at 17% in Arkansas. And so that
allowed us in 2009 to sort of kick out the last of the payday lenders in our state. And that's huge because payday lenders are notorious for charging junk fees, extremely high interest rates, trapping people in a cycle of debt that they can't get out of. It's really one of the worst things you can do to a struggling family as far as keeping them in financial trouble because it is so hard to get out of these payday lending cycles. So a little bit more on that. Recently, we've seen some payday lending style organizations pop up again in Arkansas, in despite this this interest rate cap that we have in our constitution. They're billing themselves as credit service organizations or CSOs, and they're kind of getting around this interest rate cap by saying, oh, we're not charging interest rate. These are sort of brokerage fees that are not related. So there were several bills that were filed, some of which would have made it easier for those operations to continue providing loans to Arkansans. And one of which fortunately did pass that clarifies the language and will hopefully ensure that these organizations that have popped up again will be kicked out once again, once and for all, in Arkansas.
We just have to get the Attorney General to take action on them. I think that's
right.
The next step with that, right?
So historically, the Attorney General has, that's how we got rid of them in 2009, was a serious action from the Attorney General. So that would certainly be a great next step for making sure that we have fair lending practices in Arkansas.
So if someone really does want to help with that, call the Attorney General,
sure,
Leslie Rutledge, and let her know that the bill's passed, you supported it, and we'd like to get those predators out of our neighborhoods.
That's right. So let's see what else. So as far as taxes go, I was happy to see a little bit of change in dialogue this session compared to some of the previous sessions where, until this session we had $242 million in tax cuts that went to everyone except for the bottom 20%. So fortunately this year, although it didn't go exactly how we had hoped, we still got a positive step towards tax fairness change in Arkansas with the governor's $50 million low-income tax cut. We had advocated for a little bit of a different strategy, which would have been an EITC, and we will continue to push for that. An EITC, or earned income tax credit, is just a more targeted way of helping low-income people reduce their tax liability. In Arkansas, the bottom 20% of earners pay twice the rate in state and local taxes as compared to the top 1% of people who make more than about $350,000 a year. So to shift that, to make it more fair for everybody, we really would like to see an EITC, but again, changing those tax tables for low-income people in Arkansas is still a great step, and we do commend the governor for his work on that.
And that earned income tax credit is on top of the federal one, and so it would be both
right.
A federal and a state.
That's right.
If we could get it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there is an earned income tax credit at the federal level, and I think the newest numbers are about 27 other states have a state-level earned income tax credit, and how it works is it's just a percentage of whatever you're getting from the federal EITC. So if your state has a 10% EITC, then, and you get $100 from your federal EITC, then you just get an extra 10% on top of that from the state. So hopefully we would join the majority of other states in having an EITC soon, because it's such a proven anti-poverty measure, the tool that we have to use.
All right. Well, I'm reminding you again, you're listening to KABF's Speak Up Arkansas. This is, you can call in anytime at 501-433-0088. We're going to take a short break and we'll be back with you in a few minutes.
Agalirala munkolimbo okwogera njogera omweru takira muddugavu agalirala munkolimbo nakamwante tagenze ku mbuga okundopa senakola ntya agalirala munkolimbo agalirala agalirala munkolimbo agalirala agalirala munkolimbo okwogera njogera ensuwa eyogera n'olwendo agalirala agalirala munkolimbo agalirala agalirala munkolimbo agalirala agalirala munkolimbo agalirala munkolimbo okwogera njogera omweru takira muddugavu agalirala agalirala munkolimbo agalirala agalirala munkolimbo agalirala agalirala munkolimbo.
Good afternoon. Again, this is Paul Kelly. I'm your host on today's Speak Up Arkansas. We have in our studio Ellie Wheeler, a policy analyst for tax and budget and economic security. We have Marquita Little, the health policy director at Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families. And we have Jenny Blankenship, the director of education policy. So, Marquita, I know that healthcare is just always, as you said in your earlier comments, always seems to be there, and it sure seems to be there on the national level. And if it isn't the policy, it's trying to get the money to do it and approved. So it's something that I think we need to have a whole show about sometime soon. But let's tell us a little bit more about what may be happening here and what impact what's going on nationally may have.
Sure. So kind of the other big issues during our session around healthcare, excuse me, was the broader discussion about, our Medicaid expansion program, as well as the overall structure of the Medicaid program. And so when I referred to the structure, we had a legislation introduced in the state that moves us towards a managed care model, which essentially changes the way that we deliver care in our state for some of our really most medically complex populations. So people diagnosed with a mental health condition, as well as people receiving services for an intellectual or developmental disability. And so there was a lot of back and forth on that particular piece of legislation. And I will tell you two successes, I think, by way of the consumers having input on designing what that looks like in our state, was that we actually were able to get some amendments made to that legislation that create a consumer advisory council. So which means the people who are actually receiving those Medicaid services will have ongoing input into the design and evaluation of that system, as well as including a patient bill of rights, which essentially says no matter how we are administering care in our state, there are certain rights that individuals would have. And so Arkansas is one of few states that does not have some form of Medicaid managed care. And this legislation, HB 1706, does not necessarily put us in a model that's exactly like other states. We're actually creating a model that local providers in the state of Arkansas have a little bit of ownership and buy-in into. But beyond that, certainly Medicaid expansion, we saw a lot of conversation there. Early on in session, we saw a couple of bills that were introduced that would have either capped our Medicaid enrollment or would have terminated the Medicaid expansion program altogether. And this was kind of in the backdrop of the big federal debate on whether to repeal the Affordable Care Act. And so one piece of legislation, the bill that would have capped or limited enrollment, the sponsor of that bill really based it on the premise that we needed to hold on enrolling more people in the program until we had more information about the federal debate to repeal the Affordable Care Act. Now, the issue with that is that our state depends significantly on the federal dollars that we actually get as a state from expanding the Medicaid program. And so were we to cap or immediately terminate the program, we would have ended up in a situation where lawmakers had to swiftly come up with a plan for how we would fill the hole that it would create in the state budget. And then you're talking about a budget crisis across issue areas beyond just the Medicaid program. We're talking about potentially impacting education, child welfare, juvenile justice, and other areas if we had to deal with the immediate hole that that would create in our state budget. So luckily, those particular bills that would have created some barriers to continuing our Medicaid expansion program, those didn't go very far in session. The sponsors actually did not present them, and they didn't make it all the way through those committees. But some of that was in response to the governor making an announcement during our legislative session that he was actually planning to seek additional changes to our Medicaid expansion program. Some of those changes would make it more restrictive, like requesting permission to, from the federal government, we have to get permission to implement these sorts of changes, requesting permission to actually make work requirements a necessity in order to actually enroll in the program. We just implemented a new policy this year. If an individual applies for the program and they aren't employed, they are referred for work training. But this would actually make it a requirement that you are actively participating in some sort of work training program or you are employed in order to have access to coverage. And he announced a few other changes. So that's really, I think, anticipating many of those issues being addressed in this special session is what slowed down the efforts during the state legislative session to stop the program immediately. We don't know exact dates yet, but certainly anticipating that sometime in May, lawmakers will go back into a short session to make some additional decisions on our Medicaid program. And then the final piece that was really important for Medicaid expansion is actually continuing to fund the program. So even though we have permission and legislation that allows us to have this Medicaid expansion program for low-income adults, every single year, lawmakers have to approve funding for it. And that happens through the Medicaid appropriation bill or the budget bill. They have to approve a version of the bill that says we will allow the state to use funding or dollars to actually pay for this program. And that was a different discussion because the Medicaid appropriation bill actually failed. It failed in the Senate twice. And it also failed when the House voted on it. During those initial votes. And so that bill had to be voted on multiple times, but in the end it passed. But as has been the case the last several years in the state, by narrow margins, because you have to have a 3/4 majority vote to pass an appropriation bill in the state of Arkansas. So as it stands today, we'll have the Medicaid expansion program for at least another year, but we'll be back up again for another battle to fund the program next year. And then in May, we'll see what additional changes are required in terms of eligibility. And again, I can I'll talk a little bit more, hopefully, about what happened at the federal level briefly here in a second. I'll pause though for any questions.
Well, it just sure seems like something that's so important to so many people sure has to jump through a bunch of hoops with the state legislature to get funded. And despite the fact that hundreds of thousands of people have now gotten health insurance, mm-hmm. but I realize how unique that is for this part of the country too.
Absolutely.
Many of our surrounding states have turned that down, and anyway. That's why it's so hard work that you do there, Marquita.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Paul.
Again, you're listening to Speak Up Arkansas on KABF. You can give us a call at 501-433-0088 and ask a question or chime in. We'd like to hear any comments. If you are concerned or don't agree with what you're hearing, we'd like to hear that, too. And so give us a call, again, 501-433-0088. Ellie, is there something you'd like to add? I know one of the things that made me think of was, hang on a second, we have a caller. Hello, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I had a question. In the last general election, there was a ballot selection for the people, voting people of the state of Arkansas, to decide if they would like to have a medical marijuana be legislated and be legal for people that legally qualified for the use of it, helping people like cancer patients, people in long-term pain situations, veterans with PTSD, that sort of thing. And I don't know what the status of that legislation is. I mean, I kind of tried to follow it a little bit. But I know some of the lawmakers were saying that, well, it's illegal. We can't pass legislation like that. Of course, it seems that some lawmakers have no problem passing legislations on right to life issues that they also know that are illegal. So I don't know what's going on. Possibly you all could inform myself and the listening audience as to the status of. Went on a little synopsis of how that is to date.
All right. Well, we'll give it a try. I know it's not something that we followed in our agency, but it certainly was the talk of the legislative session. So what we give you may be partial of what the full story is. I know there was a major meeting a couple of Thursdays ago of all the people who were interested in doing it. Certainly appeared to me they were trying to make it as hard as possible. I think they prohibit them from actually being able to smoke the material. Is that right? And then anybody else want to add to that?
Well, I just say that probably was the other.
I'll hang up and take your answer, but I waited, and this is kind of a health care issue.
Right. No. Right.
Rather than having to be a lifelong slave to have opioids-type medicines, prescribed to people, this is an alternative. But thank you very much for your efforts on this.
All right, thank you for calling.
So the only thing I was going to add is that probably next to the broader Medicaid issues, that was probably the dominating issue in terms of the public health issues that were considered. And I don't know if I have the number exactly right, but I think it was about 17 or 18 different pieces of legislation related to that. And so, my broad answer, again, it wasn't an issue that Arkansas Advocates worked on or followed during session. But kind of my broad answer is that there were pretty significant number of policies and legislation filed that definitely will significantly regulate how that program in terms of growing, distributing,
methods for
purchasing,
use.
All of that related to, methods for actually making it accessible. So that was one of the major issues. And quite honestly, gosh, it would probably take a couple of weeks to go through all of the different regulations and laws and decisions that were made in session regarding to how that will be regulated in Arkansas. Certainly a lot more, I think, to come, and I'm sure we'll all be hearing more about it.
Well, they were certainly trying to do their best to undo what the people voted on.
Right.
I'm sure that many of the things that those folks who were supporting that were hoping would happen have probably been had to face some difficult regulations for it. So anybody else have any comment about it? Okay. Ellie, you want to?
I was just going to say in general, the caller made a good point about how it is interesting sometimes the ways that state legislation and federal legislation interplays, and sometimes it depends on each other, sometimes prohibits each other. There was some tax, it just reminded me of a lot of the discussions in Tax and Budget Committee this session had to do with sales taxes and collecting online sales taxes. One of the interesting things about that is that, we're limited because of federal law and how we can collect taxes from retailers who don't have a physical presence in our state. So because of that, a lot of times what you'll buy online, you won't necessarily pay a sales tax on that at the time of purchase. Technically, you're required to submit that sales tax to the state of Arkansas anyway, but a lot of people don't know it, that they're supposed to do that at all. So what we end up with is a situation where brick and mortar stores are at a disadvantage compared to online retailers. So there was some legislation that tried to create some more balance there, but again, without a change at the federal level, that's really a challenge. So hopefully we'll see some future incentives at a state level for online retailers to comply and collect sales tax, but it will really kind of have to wait until there's change at the federal level.
Yeah.
So if I could, I was just going to jump in because it was a great point Ellie made about the interplay between federal law and then what happens at a state level. Obviously, that was the other big issue that wasn't necessarily a part of state legislation, but that was the big issue regarding the federal healthcare decision, and that the new administration, that was the key priority in the first 100 days to repeal the Affordable Care Act. And the Affordable Care Act not only allowed states who chose to expand Medicaid to expand the program to low-income adults, but it also provides a tax credit or subsidy for citizens who want to go on to the marketplace or healthcare.gov who purchase their own plan. They can actually get help paying that premium. And so that was really the certainly a lot of sort of the dominating kind of umbrella really that state lawmakers were having to consider as we were trying to figure out what would happen in our own healthcare system in the state. And those of you who followed the debate, I'll just very quickly touch on this. But obviously the key objective was to repeal some key aspects of the Affordable Care Act, roll back on some of the consumer protections, things like out-of-pocket max for a family. And out-of-pocket, you can't be expected to pay more than a certain amount. Rolling back on things like protecting seniors from having to pay significantly more. And the federal repeal bill went much further than just repealing the Medicaid expansion program. There were actually provisions in it that would have significantly restructured the entire Medicaid program by capping funding, which would have potentially put the traditional Medicaid program as we know it, that provides coverage for kids, seniors, people with disabilities at risk. So it's no surprise that lawmakers were not successful at the federal level in passing that bill. I would say that, that's temporary, and while it's a big celebration, it's not a permanent one, because I think the debate is certainly going to continue with lawmakers trying to come up with the replacement option for the Affordable Care Act. And so while they did not have the votes to make that happen this time around, I think we should anticipate that there will be continued efforts to replace the Affordable Care Act.
Right. Again, you're listening to Speak Up Arkansas. You can call in 501-433-0088. I think we ought to thank all of you all in the listening audience who, during the legislative session, took time to call your legislator, and we'll see what this caller wants to talk about. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to bring up the marijuana thing you were talking about. I think when legislators go out of their way to undo the will of the people and undo their vote and cheat like what they did, they ought to go to prison for that. There ought to be a charge when a legislator does the opposite, when he's doing what his keepers, who's paying him. I mean, I think we know illegal marijuana is it's been the big fight for a long time, because it's just a very few people in high places control that.
Uh-huh.
In this state, I think they ought to go to jail when they do something that's blatant that tries to undo that.
All right.
Now, I've was trained in working with residents in Amsterdam. I've seen cancer. I've seen brain tumors disappear before and after. I mean, I have seen pancreatic cancer disappear in 6 weeks after the use of resin.
All right.
And it's real.
Right.
So who's afraid of it?
Right.
I think it's the AMA, the medical establishment, is the ones who stand a chance to lose a lot. And another thing, I don't know if people know about hair samples, where you can take a hair sample and you know what's in your body. You will be blown away that all of us, and I did probably the only private nonprofit hair sample with several hundred people who were working in the oil spill down at Katrina and some reporters, and we found everyone with at least 14 toxins, most had 17, all had aluminum that is measurable in the air and the water coming from these chemtrail planes.
Right.
So there's a lot of criminal activity going on in our government. I think it's time to throw them all out and start all over.
All right. Well, thank you for your call, sir. Well, this is a lot of, I'm sure some of these people around here feel that way some of the time, too. So, your point is well made. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, well, look up. They're spraying all the time, folks. It's
all
real.
Right. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, all right. We... I know that I was talking about, again, the importance of staying involved, and we talked about we don't necessarily throw them out, but we can certainly work in an election, and I think that's important, and also let them know what you think. I think the biggest problem is people sit back and don't do anything about it. We can't be complacent. It has to be. We have to believe that the people rule, even when it doesn't feel that way. And Ellie, I know you've got some information about how people can learn a little bit more or get involved. So why don't you share that with us?
Right. Well, I'd just say, you know, during the session and after the session, you hear a lot of people with really strong opinions and who seem like they really care. And you know, what do they do with that? And it's important to remember that advocacy doesn't stop when the session stops. The off season that we're in now is a great time for you to reach out to your legislators about the issues that matter to you. If you're upset about something that happened, you need to let them know. If you're glad about something that happened, reach out and thank them for that. Talk to them, develop a relationship, and help give them the information they need to make decisions that you agree with in the future. A great way to do that is to get involved in Arkansas Advocates post-legislative conferences. We've got three coming up in May. One of them's in Jonesboro. That's on May 3rd. There's one in Northwest Arkansas on May 9th. There's one right here in Little Rock on May 11th. No cost to attend. You can get more information and register online at www.aradvocates.org/events. And we'll be talking about what happened during the session. You can pick our brains in person. There will be a panel discussion, and speakers will give their impressions and analysis. We'll talk about what's on the horizon for future sessions, and we'll recognize legislators and citizen advocates who worked hard on behalf of children and families during the 2017 legislative session. So if you haven't already signed up for any of those, also go to our website, and you can also sign up to get our emails and our legislative alerts at www.aradvocates.org, and click on that Take Action button at the top right corner of the website.
Right. And again, they are at home. They're resting now, but you can start calling them. I know they're really a lot easier to get a hold of than you might think, and
That's
they
right.
are certainly responsive. And actually, the state has a great legislative website. It's www.arkleg.state.ar.us, and you can go in there and look up information on individual legislators. I don't know if you can put in your zip code and do that, but you can, if you know your legislator's name, you can certainly find out his contact information. Mm-hmm. We have just a few minutes left. Has anybody got anything else they'd like to add to the discussion?
I was just going to add that also on the Take Action section of our website, you can also see by issue area all of the different bills that our staff has been tracking throughout the legislative session, and the status of those bills at the end of the session, whether they were sent to interim study, whether they were withdrawn, whether they were passed and signed by the governor. So if you would like to get more of an inside look at the things that we have been working on and tracking beyond what's in our weekly updates, that's one place to do it.
All right. Well, thank you, Jenny. That's Jenny Blankenship, Education Policy Director at Arkansas Advocates, and Marquita Little, Health Policy Director, and Ellie Wheeler, who's a Senior Policy Analyst on Tax, Budget, and Economic Security. I want to thank all the listeners for joining us, reminding you that Speak Up Arkansas is here every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Next week, we're going to have a panel of people discussing the upcoming executions that are here. We're going to have lawyers who have worked with people on death row. We'll have a religious perspective. We'll have people who were victims of murder and crime, murderous crimes, and their perspective. So, and we hope to have a prosecutor here to talk also. So tune in next Wednesday at 5 o'clock on Speak Up Arkansas. And I thank you for calling, and thank you for listening. Up next is CALS, a Central Arkansas Library, followed by Bioneers. You are listening to KABF 88.3 in Little Rock. Thank you.
It's time for Radio CALS, a weekly program from the Central Arkansas Library System. Every Wednesday from 6 to 6:30 p.m. here on KABF 88.3 FM, we'll share with you conversations with interesting Arkansans on primary sources, Chewing the Fat with Rex and Paul, interviews with some of your favorite musical artists on Arkansas Sounds, content from the Butler Center's collections, information about what's happening in the library system, and much, much more. We invite you to let us know what else you want to hear by contacting us at radiocals@cals.org. This program is presented by the Butler Center for Arkansas Studies and the CALS Communications and Public Relations Department. For more information about